Stay tuned now for Dr. Stephen Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Stephen Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Steve Zelikoff, and welcome everybody to Bone Talk. Our topic today is going to be common causes of knee pain, something we're all really familiar with. We're all active. We do things, and sometimes your knees start hurting. And we're very, very fortunate in that we have a guest who's been with us before, Dr. Yasmin Dar. Dr. Dar is head of sports medicine at Montefiore New Rochelle. She's a team physician for a number of local colleges and high schools and is part of specialty orthopedics. Dr. Dar, welcome.
Thank you for having me back.
Of course. It's wonderful to have you. It's always great to getting a chance to talk to you and having you share some of your insights with our audience. So, Dr. Dar, can you give us just an overview of how common is knee pain?
Knee pain is probably the most common issue I treat. I mean, your knee takes a lot of wear and tear, everyday life. We're standing, we're sitting, we're doing all sorts of things. I'd probably say it's the most common joint that gets injured, maybe secondary to shoulder injuries as well.
As far as the symptoms that most people tend to present with, what are the common things that you tend to see?
So I like to break it down into two types of issues. So there's generally the I did nothing. You know, my knee just started to hurt. I woke up with it, or I really wasn't doing much, and I started to have this pain. That I break down into I was doing something all week. I was working out every day, and then it started to creep up on to me, or the ones where people really don't remember anything. The other side of that is the people who come in and say, I did something. I tripped, I fell, I was playing tennis, I twisted my knee, the more injury side of knee pain. So there's a wide spectrum, and it can happen from absolutely nothing that you remember, and then all the way to more severe injuries.
And I think that's important to sort of separate out those two groups. I also think that a lot of times, I mean, most of what I do tends to be more arthritis surgery, and a lot of my patients will sort of have what we call an acute on chronic episode, where they've had sort of this background of like, yeah, I'm kind of aware of my knee, but it doesn't really bother me a ton, to I went ahead and on top of that went, played some tennis or something, did something, and all of a sudden my knee blew up, it got swollen, it became painful. So, you know, when somebody presents, for instance, with swelling, stiffness, when would they see a doctor? I mean, is this something, do you tell them to just maybe try ice first? I mean, how do you tell them to sort of evaluate that, and when is it important enough that they should come and see you?
Well, I think, you know, it is important to know when you should see a doctor and when you can kind of wait it out and see what happens. What you described, that patient that has had kind of achiness in the back and then does something to worsen it, that's what I call an injury to a vulnerable knee. Basically, you know, there's some people who they know their general aches and pains. They live with a little arthritis, or they live with a little swelling that happens, some tendonitis, which is inflammation in the tendons around the knee, and then it becomes acutely worse. They do something or they don't do something, it swells up. So I think the important thing is if you're used to having some baseline amount of achiness with activities, I think a lot of people know their bodies. That general achiness, you know, you say, hey, I rested, I do a little stretching, I maybe take an Advil or two. Give it a few days, see what happens. 2-3 days, if it's settling down and you feel like it's moving in the right direction, I think it's fine to wait it out and see what happens. If you have an actual injury where, you know, something, you trip, you fall, you have difficulty walking, you can't bend your knee, you're limping around, those are the things that could be a bit more concerning, and those are the things that are going to limit you more. You're not going to walk around, and then you're going to start having maybe some other joint hurt because you're not moving as much. So those are issues that probably should seek some evaluation. I wouldn't call, you know, go to the emergency room necessarily, but call your local orthopedist, call specialty orthopedics, and we'll evaluate it. There are things that you should probably go to the emergency room for. I mean, if you take a fall and you can't move, You can't get up, or you feel like you see your legs kind of deformed. Well, that does warrant an urgent evaluation, probably in the emergency room.
So as far as, I think that's great advice. And I think at the end of the day, and particularly if somebody, you know, does something, has a twisting episode, maybe feels a pop or something, their knee gets swollen, they can't straighten it, I think clearly that's something that should definitely be seen, and you shouldn't sort of ride it out. Now, when we talk about knees, okay, so there's different areas to the knee, and the most common areas, you've got the bone, you've got the skin around it, you've got the ligaments, and you've got the ACL, which is the anterior cruciate, the posterior cruciate ligament, and the menisci, which are the little cushions inside the knee. Let's go through some of the various injuries that people can get to these various areas, how they kind of present, and what are your thoughts in terms of how best to go ahead and manage them?
Okay, so your most common problem, probably with any joint, is tendonitis. Tendons are what attach muscle to bone. So that's basically where you have inflammation, and a lot of people hear of tennis elbow or runner's knee. Runner's knee is essentially when you have some inflammation in the tendon that attaches your patella or your kneecap to the front part of your shin or your tibia. So tendonitis is something I think a lot of people know about. That's the general inflammation with activity or overuse. We all have lives when we're busy and we try and cram our workouts into like 2-3 days in a row. That's when those tendonitis starts to flare up. So a little activity modification is reasonable. Some anti-inflammatories if you don't have a medical reason that you shouldn't be taking Advil, Motrin, and things of that nature. Ice, resting it. Maybe a brace if you're having a little difficulty walking, and some stretching. And that's where it usually settles down 3 to 5 days. I'd say if something is still giving you trouble 5-7 days later, probably seek an evaluation to make sure it's not something more. So tendonitis is probably the most common thing and probably the most benign, meaning that it generally resolves with little treatment. The cartilage, which is the cushion that's on top of the bones, and then the other cartilage is the menisci. So cartilage, the cushion that's on top of the bones, that sometimes people can get, as you know, a little arthritis. That's when you lose a bit of that cartilage cushion. I always tell people it's like an unpaved road. You know, a nice smooth pavement, that's what normal cartilage is. You know, when they're repaving the road and there's a little bumpiness to it, that's when you start to have a little arthritis. And that may cause some intermittent swelling, some, you know, pain that happens with activities. Again, a little rest, Advil, Motrin, Aleve, things of that nature, ice, and C. Sometimes you need something more. If it doesn't go away, we perform some injections. There's obviously surgeries we can do. The more traumatic injuries.
Before we get into that, I mean, because I think one of the things, particularly in talking about cartilage and arthritis and stuff like that, and clearly people tend to have arthritis as we get older, and there's all kinds of reasons, and we're going to talk a little bit about arthritis. But one of the things that you deal with a lot, and you're amazing at dealing with it, is patellofemoral issues and dealing with, you know, symptoms around the kneecap, and that can come from different things. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts about, you know, how do, you know, you address those issues and when people come in with anterior knee pain or pain in the front of their knee.
Right. Anterior knee pain is very common. I mean, it happens in adolescent women more, and then it kind of becomes both genders as you start to age past 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. There's a lot of mechanics that goes on in joints. I'd say the knee and the shoulder probably are the most sensitive to mechanics, meaning the overall alignment. I always tell people the kneecap has the thickest cartilage in your body. So that tells you how much load has to go across the front of your knee. That's how you generate the force from your thigh muscle. It basically levers off your kneecap. So anterior knee pain is common, and there's a lot of different reasons people get it. Sometimes it is just some wear in the cartilage, and sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it has to do with your alignment. So if you're a little more knock-kneed, you know, your kneecap might tilt a certain way, and you kind of rub one side more than the other. I have a lot of car analogies. So it's like having one tire that's off alignment. It starts to affect that side, and then it starts to affect the leg below. So those things, you know, you can try and optimize mechanics, muscle flexibility, muscle strength. You can't necessarily change the overall alignment, but there's things you can do to help it. Sometimes people need orthotics for their feet to kind of tilt their foot a certain way, which tilts their knee a certain way to help that. Sometimes bracing can help keep your kneecap a little better aligned. And then your kneecap does obviously attach to your quadriceps tendon and your patellar tendon. So that off alignment can start to affect the tendons as well. So I think the mechanics are probably the most important part of anterior knee pain. So a lot of people, a gentle stretching regimen with a strengthening the muscles around the kneecap usually works pretty well. As things get a bit more progressive, sometimes the orthotics and the bracing to help alignment, and then if you do get some progressive cartilage wear, that's where injections, you know, we do synthetic joint fluid injections, we do stem cell injections, all to help pain and inflammation. There's transplants for cartilage, and then there's replacing a part of your kneecap as well. So there's a wide spectrum of different surgeries depending on the problem. We like to start obviously the most conservative and optimize mechanics, but sometimes that's not enough and further things are needed.
Great. That's very, very helpful. The other thing, when we talked about cartilage, you mentioned the meniscus. Can you tell us what the meniscus is and where it's located and what are the types of symptoms that you may have if you have a torn meniscus?
So meniscus is like two little seas of cartilage. It lives between the bones. So, you know, the bones have the cartilage that line them, and then meniscus is also cartilage. It basically, what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to dissipate the force. So it adds a little extra part of protection. And when
like
you
a shock
bend,
absorber.
Right, exactly, like a shock absorber. When you bend or load, the meniscus kind of squishes one way or the other to adjust and help the cartilage that lines the bone. And there's essentially two types of ways people injure it. There's degenerative, which is the wear and tear. I use the analogy of your favorite shirt. You know, you wear it, the elbow thins a little, and then one day you bend your elbow and it tears. That's a similar, you know, quote, injury that can happen to a meniscus. And that's just normal wear and tear. And sometimes they can be painful for a week or two and settle down, and sometimes they can persist. And then there's the actual injuries. Someone says, I planted my leg, I twisted. Generally, it's a twisting injury to your knee, and sometimes not even a very significant injury. Something as innocuous as stepping out of your car awkwardly with your foot turned one way and your leg going the other, essentially just catches, your bone catches the edge of the meniscus, and it kind of tears a piece. And then sometimes it's like a little hangnail that's in there. So every time you twist, you catch it, and it hurts, and it causes locking or swelling or pain. So treatment is variable depending on, you know, the symptoms you have, how far you've come, and how far you want to go. I mean, there's a lot of options depending on the injury. The more pressing ones are the bigger tears. Especially in that younger population, because this is cartilage. This is how it is what protects our knee from degenerative changes over time. So the ones that are bigger tears, especially in that younger or more traumatic tears, those sometimes we're a bit more aggressive about treating because sometimes you can actually fix them, as opposed to the little hangnail where you just remove the small piece. Those bigger tears, sometimes you actually want to stitch them and preserve as much of the cartilage as possible.
So it's important if you twist your knee, sudden pain, swelling, and you can't straighten your knee, maybe like something stuck inside there, that seems like it's something that's pretty urgent to go ahead and get evaluated. Because if I'm hearing you, you know, if you can repair it, then you want to do that. And probably the more you sort of walk on it and beat on it, it makes it less likely you can repair it and more likely then that you have to actually remove that cushion.
Exactly. I mean, I think some people are always a little hesitant to come into the doctor. They're said, oh, I'm going to wait and see. And I think for a lot of things, that's reasonable. And I have patients who come in and they say, oh, I don't even know why I'm here. I already feel better. I would rather you come in and be fine than wait on something like that where your knee is stuck or you can't walk and you know, you're waiting a few weeks and now it takes a problem that was maybe quite fixable initially and makes it a bit more complicated and your outcome may not be as good. I always say if there's any concern, just call us, come in, we can evaluate it, and if it's nothing, it's nothing, and then you can get it, go on back to your life with a little peace of mind.
And diagnosis of this, usually physical examination, an MRI, how do you normally examine these? And what
I think physical examination is probably your most important. History and physical. Generally, people have some event they remember, and usually a good physical exam it will get you most of your diagnosis. I always say I don't need MRIs to diagnose things. I need them to confirm what I think. So, yes, an MRI is warranted. It gives you the best picture of a knee, the meniscus, the ligaments, the tendons. But I'm not making my diagnosis with an MRI. I'm making my diagnosis with your history and your exam because ultimately that matters more to me than the MRI. The MRI just gives me more information and can give some information on how big a tear is or where the piece is. Is it something that is fixable or is there some associated injury that you know we couldn't assess on exam because the knee was too swollen? So that is probably what most people do end up getting, an x-ray, probably just to make sure there was nothing broken in the bone or fractured, and then an MRI to assess all the tissues fully.
So that's so valuable. I mean, because I could tell you that from my end and what I tend to see in a lot of my patients, which tend to be a little bit older and may have some arthritic changes as well, is that I oftentimes get people coming in with MRIs showing a torn meniscus, which is kind of like the normal part of the wear and tear process. And oftentimes I spend more time telling people that they shouldn't have surgery and just ride it out, maybe an injection or something, physical therapy, and they tend to do just fine. Very different, though, from your patient population, which is the younger, more active athletes, where if there is something torn, that really should get fixed. Now, sort of getting to the active athletes, we're getting into football season. Football season, unfortunately, means a lot of ligament injuries, ACL injuries, PCL injuries, things like that. Run through those injuries with us. Tell us what people can expect if they have an anterior cruciate ligament injury. And is it a devastating injury that's the end of your career, or is this something that you can help them get back onto the football field and playing again?
So football season is coming back with a vengeance because we were all on hold, right, with everything going on. So I think people are eager to get back, and the teams I cover, I feel I'm making sure there's some amount of ramping up and not going from 0 to 60 to prevent these injuries. Ligaments are attached bone to bone. There's four major ones in your knee. It basically gives your knee stability. So there's a difference between, you know, cushion pain. Stability is the sense that your knee doesn't give out or buckle when you're walking around. So there's the MCL, which is on the inside, the medial collateral. There's a lateral collateral, which is on the outside. And then there's two that cross, which is why they're called the cruciate ligaments, the anterior and posterior. The most common one people hear of are probably an ACL or an anterior cruciate ligament, or maybe an MCL, which is a medial collateral ligament. Very common with actual injuries, planting your leg, twisting, or someone striking your knee, someone tries to tackle you and gets you around the legs and strikes your knee from the outside part of your knee, and your leg kind of buckles inward. Usually, you know, they're pretty profound. An ACL injury, people will feel or feel like they heard a pop. I mean, ligaments are, you know, good solid structures, and when they tear, you almost feel something give way in your knee. And then the knee blows up probably about, you know, 12, 24 hours later. The MCL happens the same way. You kind of take a stress on the knee, and it's like a rubber band. It just gets to the end of where it can get stressed, and it tears. So Injury prevention is important in a certain way. Balancing your muscles and keeping them strong can prevent it, but sometimes it just happens. And a lot of times their ACL injuries are not really contact. You're planting your leg, your foot's going in one direction, your body's going in the other with a full load of your force. You're pushing off the full load of your body weight. And there's a lot of research also, you know, with cleats and playing on a regular field, playing on turf and your shoes. So there's and women and their overall alignment. There's a lot of things that go into an ACL injury. But unfortunately, you know, they don't really fix themselves. MCL injuries can, ACLs, they don't heal on their own. And generally something needs to be done in order for someone to return to cutting, jumping, landing sports. You know, if someone's a little sedentary, could they live without their ACL? They could. If they don't have any instability, they don't feel their knee give way. Generally, my younger population, they always have a little micro instability. And the problem you run into is every time your knee kind of shifts, you run the risk of dinging up something else like your cartilage or your meniscus. So we do like to be a bit aggressive about them in generally that younger population and in anyone who has the feeling that their knee gives out, because they run the risk of injuring something else and the risk of having more arthritis progress quicker than, say, your average person. And there's options. I mean, they're good surgeries for the right problem, and essentially there's two. There's actual repairs, which are a little newer. You know, if the ligament tears clean off the bone, there's a newer, less invasive surgery where you can actually just keep your native ligament and reattach it to the bone. And if that's possible, I think that's probably the best option, because you're keeping whatever your native tissue is and you're allowing your body to heal that tissue. And it works well for the criteria on who's a candidate for that is somewhat tight, but it works well for the right person. Otherwise, you're performing what we call a full reconstruction. That ligament that's like a braided rope that tore is all frayed. I mean, there's no way to stitch it. So that one has to come out, and we have to put a new one in. And generally, we're using a piece of some other tissue from yourself. So either a piece of your quadriceps tendon or a piece of your kneecap tendon or some of your hamstring tendons, and we're making a new one. And we're taking out the one that's torn, and we're putting a new one in. It's a long recovery to get back to full sports. Most people are walking around pretty well, but you have to protect that graft. So it can take 6 to 9 months to get back to full sports. The return to sport outcome is pretty high. Obviously, there's different levels of sports, you know, recreational up to the professional athletes. And we've all seen, you know, Tom Brady, all these people have torn their ACL and gone back, you know, to playing football and winning Super Bowls. So it definitely has a high return to activity ability. It's just the right surgery, a good patient, performing a lot of your rehab after surgery is important. And the rehab's probably just as important as the surgery. So it takes a lot of commitment on both the surgeon and the patient's part.
And these, again, are being done arthroscopically for the most part?
Right, minimally invasive. The old way to do it was you made a big incision on the front of the knee. That's actually a bit before my time, but I have some friends from high school who had it done that way. But now we do what's called arthroscopic assisted. Taking out a piece of your tendon, we have to do through a small open, but otherwise a couple small puncture wounds about the size of a pen around the knee, and we're basically making passes with sutures and through the knee to put a new graft in. So it's arthroscopic assisted, but essentially 3 or 4 small incisions around the knee, and we can do the whole surgery that way and look at the meniscus and make sure nothing else is going on, which we can also fix with the use of an arthroscope, which is a small camera that we can put in, and there's these small instruments that we use to reconstruct or do these surgeries.
That's amazing. And again, one of the things that I think also the sophistication that's now available in terms of performing these reconstructions really comes also down to finding a surgeon who's very facile and has an incredible experience, like Dr. Yasmin Dar, who is able to perform these things and has had a great track record in getting athletes back and onto the playing field. So, again, we're very lucky to have you today talking to us about knee pain and knee problems. With the last minute or so that we have left, is there anything else that you want to sort of, like, bring out that you'd like people to know in terms of either avoiding injury or getting back and then staying in shape and staying active?
I would say the most important thing I can tell people is make sure you warm up and make sure you cool down. A little bit of stretching, which nobody wants to do. I mean, I don't do it either half the time I work out. You have 20 minutes to work out, you do that, and you're on to the next thing. A little bit of stretching, hamstrings, calf, goes a long way. A little bit of flexibility helps you in the long term. But, you know, if you have an injury or you're having pain that's not going away, see your orthopedic surgeon. Make sure it's not something that needs something more invasive, something more more of a workup with an MRI. More important to know than to wait and dealing with a more difficult problem down the road.
Perfect. Again, Dr. Dar from Specialty Orthopedics in Harrison, New York, and also head of sports medicine at Monifee and Rochelle, as always, thrilled to have you on our show. Again, I'm Steve Zelikoff, and again, thank you again for joining us on another episode of Bone Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.